Well, as has already been mentioned, it's Advent, kind of that waiting, that expectation, and we've got four words: hope and peace and joy and love. And I would say those four beautiful words represent really the deepest longings that all of us as human beings have, don't they? We can have hope, and we can have peace. We can have joy and experience love. It's all we want. It's all we need. So I think it's fitting that we focus on those words, those themes, as we celebrate God coming to us, the birth of a Savior. He came to us in the wilderness, in the loneliness, and the sinfulness of this anything but peaceful world. I would say that each of us is or are, or it can be, all of these things can be a reality in our lives. You know, all but hope are identified as fruits of the Spirit. In other words, they come from God. And I would say even within hope, there's this element of patience, which is also a fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes I wonder, I ask myself, do I have a good understanding of what each of these words represents and the source and how it is or becomes a present reality right now in our lives? And while we certainly won't be able to capture all of that in a few minutes on Sunday mornings in December, just maybe we can grow a little bit in our understanding. So our theme today, our key word is peace. And I was drawn immediately to Psalm 29:11 in thinking about peace for our scripture text today. I really want you to just sit and listen for a moment to the words of this scripture. I mean, the words of this passage just tug at our hearts whenever we stop long enough to actually think about them. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The Lord gives strength to his people. And the Lord blesses his people with peace. If you're able, before you get too comfortable, would you just stand up and let's just say this together. Maybe ladies, could you just recite this verse together? First the ladies, and then we'll have the men. All right, guys. The Lord
blesses his people with peace.
Okay, once is good for them. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this incredible promise, for this incredible reality that you give us, your people, strength, and you give us, your people, peace. God, I just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus today as we look at your word, as we just take a little bit of time this morning to reflect on this incredible promise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So strength, just need you to help me out here a little bit this morning. This imparting of courage comes from who? The Lord. And this blessing of peace on the people of God comes from who? The Lord. And who receives strength and peace? Yes, the Lord's people. The Lord's people. I just decided to throw this slide in there because I want you to just reflect for a moment on all that the Lord is. And you can read all of them. I'm not going to read them all. But he is so much. He's so much. It's not a wonder that he can give strength and that he can give peace. I mean, he's creator, perfecter, redeemer, high priest. Wow, we've talked a lot about high priest lately. Shepherd, Savior, comforter, counselor, so many things that God is. And it's from and through God, the Lord, and His name is Jesus, that we live as His people with strength and in peace. Raises a question for me. Are you and I living with peace? Are you and I living with peace? The peace that is a blessing from God for His people. Well, for the next few minutes, I'd like to explore together this blessing of peace from the Lord. But I think first we need to take just a quick look at what we often think of as peace. Yeah, for some of us, it's like peace is just one more piece of pie. Ah, oh, the comfort of good food. You got it. Yeah, that's pecan. We got to have vanilla ice cream on it that's just starting to melt a little bit. But, right, some of us feel like, oh, if I could just have one more piece of pie. Really, what I want is comfort. Chrissy already alluded to this. Sometimes, whether the neighborhood kids are too loud or our own kids are too loud, according to us, or the band's too loud, or we live beside a racetrack, we say, just give me some peace. You're right. What we're really saying is we just want some quiet. We just want some quiet. We want a silent night, right, Chrissy? Thanks for that song, by the way. Sometimes we're in this tension of just trying to pay the bills for the family and figure it all out. We say, oh, if I could just get rid of this tension, I'd have some peace. Really, what we're saying is, I'd like some prosperity. You know, for those who are into, like, Eastern religions and such, there's this sense of kind of losing yourself. And so you just kind of immerse yourself into all of the universe, and so you have no personal desires, you just lose yourself. Ah, that's peace. Really what you're saying is, you just want some serenity or this nirvana, you know? I think in our circles, we'd probably call it, we just emotionally check out. That somehow brings peace, if we just emotionally check out. It's already been alluded to this morning. Sometimes when we're waiting for those medical tests and trying to figure out what's going on, and we just want some peace with that. Really what we're saying is we want good health. We want good health. Wow. And maybe the most extreme desires of what we call peace get put into motion by trying to accumulate more power than another person to preserve our peace. So we squash someone else in the name of peace. We put them down. Or if they seem like a big enough threat to our perceived peace, we literally kill them. You know, family conflicts and workplace drama and impeachment processes and genocides among people groups are all in the name of somehow protecting peace or making peace, my peace as I see it. But what we really want is control. So as to protect my peace or my world or make my peace, and wow, does that get twisted in a hurry. Here's a quote for you to consider. A healthy society must stop at nothing to cleanse itself of evil. That would or should bring peace, right? Well, if that's your idea of making peace, congratulations. Because you're in agreement with Adolf Hitler. Because that's his quote. Sounds good. A healthy society must stop at nothing to cleanse itself of evil. But where does peace come from? We said that pretty strongly at the beginning, right? The Lord blesses His people with peace. So what in the world is peace? What is peace? Is peace that condition when life is as it should be in our own minds? And in reality, most of us have created this picture in our own minds of what peace for us should look like, haven't we? Like, whatever situation you're in, you've got a picture in your mind of like, well, this would make it all peaceful. But who determines what it should or shouldn't be? If we all got what we wanted, it would be at the expense of someone else and what someone else thought peace should be. And if we all got the kind of peace we wanted, it would be an imposed or forced peace at the expense of someone else. You following? It's not that difficult, is it? We just start thinking about our lives and our situations. So what is peace and where does it come from? Let's go back to our text. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. So this word bless, let's just take a dive into that for a moment. In the Hebrew, it simply means to give an inheritance. So to be blessed means that you receive an inheritance, something of value as a sign of favor towards you. So as God's people, God has favor towards you, and so he blesses you. He gives you an inheritance. You following? There's also this element in the word bless in the Hebrew to sanctify. So God, the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High has shown you favor by giving you peace, by setting you apart from the world as one of his people, because the world has no peace. So when the Lord gives you peace, he's setting you apart from the rest of the world. Because remember, it's very specific. The Lord gives peace to who? His people. So that means you've been filled with his spirit. You've been set apart. You've been filled with his spirit. You can hear his voice. And that allows everyone around you to know that he is real and that you belong to him. So blessing from God has this sense of inheritance and also this sense of being set apart. Sanctified means to be set apart for the intended purpose of the designer. It's just kind of this generic word for sanctified. Set apart for the intended purpose of the designer. What is our intended purpose on the earth as humanity? We've talked about this quite a bit. To represent, to bear the image and likeness of God, filling the whole earth with the glory and the love of God. Without the Lord's gift of strength and his blessing of peace, we cannot and do not represent our Creator. Without those blessings from the Lord, we actually represent our own selfish nature. The Lord blesses his people. The Lord gives his people an inheritance. The Lord sets his people apart with a blessing of peace. Now, this is actually peace in the Latin, this is actually how we often think of peace, or the world around us thinks of peace. It's some kind of external tranquility. It's the absence of conflict. So there's no hostilities, no war between the conqueror and the conquered. In other words, whoever has the most power there's no conflict between the person in power and the person who does not have as much power. This kind of peace is always temporary, right? It's always temporary. All you got to do is look at the history of the world. It's not a permanent peace. So what's this peace that's talked about here in Psalm 29:11? You've heard this word many times. Shalom. That's the Hebrew for peace. I'm going to keep it real simple. There's a wholeness and a completeness and a safety. Everything is made whole again with this peace, with this shalom, and there's an implication of permanence. So where our Latin peace, our worldly peace, is very, temporary. Shalom has this permanence to it. So you think about the temporary peace of the world, that plays out between husbands and wives. You know, somebody's feeling over the other one on a certain day or whatever. Plays out in the workplace, in church, local governments, countries. There's a constant jockeying of position to create what appears to be peace. to a person or a group of people. But this permanent shalom, what's that look like? Well, we can go back to Eden and see what that looked like. Back in Eden, before the fall, before sin, humanity was at peace with God and with each other. There was intimate relationships of love between Adam and Eve, between Adam and Eve and God. All needs were supplied with no suffering. There's only one thing that broke that peace. And it was Adam and Eve's unbelief and distrust of God. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust him. They thought he was holding out on them. There was something a little bit more they could have. Peace was broken by unbelief and distrust. And that's it. The blessing of shalom, this blessing of peace, this blessing of wholeness and completeness, and even restoration from the Lord hinges on belief or unbelief in who God is. It hinges on trust or distrust in what he reveals in his word of who he is. We often call that faith. I already pointed out that peace on earth was broken in Eden. Why are we talking about peace at Advent? Because when the angels announced the birth of Jesus Christ, when they announced that God was coming to this wilderness, this lonely place, this hurting place, they announced that peace on earth was again a reality as a blessing from the Lord. Peace on earth is now a reality again as a blessing from the Lord. So how did the Messiah, how did Jesus bring peace? Well, there was a prophet a long time ago that told what was going to happen. His name was Isaiah. And this is what he had to say about Jesus, the Messiah. He said, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace," that's not future tense. "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Peace has come. Jesus has come. And he took upon us, or took upon himself, all of our unwholeness, all of our incompleteness, our sickness and our sin, and even our punishment. I mean, it's one thing to take on our unwholeness, but he even took on our punishment. He even took on our punishment. In other words, he took on all things associated with sin and rebellion upon himself. And simply pure love and desire for humanity to be made whole again, to bear his image again, Jesus died on a cross. He went into a grave, and the power of God raised him to life, and he ascended into heaven, and he is interceding and offering peace to God's people, all those who believe right now. Jesus accomplished, Jesus finished what he set out to do. He remained submitted and committed to the will of his Father in heaven, and in doing so, he brought shalom to the earth. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So what about us? The prophet also says that all of us have turned away from God and we have went our own way. The question we should ask is, have we turned around? Have we turned our faces towards God in submission to his will? Have we repented of our unbelief and our distrust in God? Because that's the crux. Our unbelief and our distrust of God robs us of shalom, of wholeness and completeness. One way we can tell is if we're living life with shalom, with wholeness and completeness and rest, Because the Lord blesses, he gives an inheritance and sets apart his people, those who trust him. Are we living life with shalom? It's going to require a life of trust and belief. So we say we need some peace in our lives, more than just one silent night. Are we willing to submit, accept, trust, believe, have faith in the one who paid the price to restore peace on earth? And you say, really? That's it? What's my part in this? How do I bring about peace, or how do I experience peace? Is it all on God? I think Jesus made it so simply clear in John 15. He said, abide in me. Anyone who abides in me, abiding in Jesus is going to require trust. It's going to require intimacy, belief. Anybody who stays connected to me, anybody who lives in me, anybody who lives by my spirit will bear much what? Good fruit. And apart from you, from me, you can do what? What's our part in bringing peace? Abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. You trust him? You trust him enough to let him do his work? What if his work is different than this picture of peace that I've already created in my own mind? You know what? It probably is different. What areas of life am I trying to live on my own strength? How has the Lord given me strength? And what areas of unbelief and distrust in the Lord are causing me to live without peace, without shalom, without wholeness and completeness? Father, I just pray for your people today, for all of us, that you would continue to give us strength, to impart courage in us, impart courage to trust you, to believe that your promises are true and good, that your desires for your people are good, and in that we will find deep and abiding peace as we trust Jesus. God, keep us connected to you by your Spirit. Draw us close to you. Don't let us go. God, may we keep our faces towards you as our King, as our Lord. Give us courage, Lord. Give us courage. You've already made that promise, and so we receive that. We agree together to receive that courage from you, to trust you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.